Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word.
It's a delight to welcome you to a continuation of our study. This is our fourth study from the book of Acts. Thus far in our study, we have seen that the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit was poured forth from heaven's viewpoint, that figurative expression, and it's used to describe the actual literal sending of the Spirit by Jesus on the beginning day, the day of Pentecost. Now, we have seen that it was the will of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:11 and Hebrews 2:4, to give these miraculous gifts according to His own will. We have seen thus far in our study that the Spirit gave these gifts directly upon the apostles, Acts 2, and upon Cornelius and his household with regard to the gift of tongues, Acts 10, 45 and 46. And now we're going to see that the Holy Spirit willed to give gifts to others, other than the apostles, through the laying on of the apostles' hands. This will become a pattern, as we'll see in our study, from Acts 6, Acts 8, Acts chapter 19, and one reference in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So that's what we're looking at the present time. Now, from Acts 2 until we get to Acts 6, only the apostles had been empowered miraculously by the Holy Spirit. It was the will of the Spirit to give miraculous gifts unto the apostles only until we get to Acts 6. Well, how do we know that? Well, first of all, if you look carefully in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 following, it says they were all together in one place. That pronoun they takes us back to the noun apostles found in the last verse of Acts chapter 1. Peter is upstanding here with the 11. That's Acts 2:14. Notice, only the apostles. Notice verse 43 of Acts chapter 2. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, Luke tells us, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. In Acts chapter 3, we have a record of the 40-year-old cripple who was born in that condition, who was immediately and completely healed by the miraculous gift of the Spirit through Peter and John to apostles. Acts 4 is a continuing discussion of that event. As far as the house, the Sanhedrin governing body is concerned, and the impact, the effect that this miraculous event had upon the unbelievers on that occasion. We'll see that in our study of Acts 3 and Acts 4. In Acts chapter 5, let's notice in verse 12, and at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico or porch, a large roofed area with huge columns. That was a part of the temple area, I gather, where all of the thousands that were able to assemble were meeting on this occasion. And then further in Acts chapter 5, we read that the people who were afflicted from the cities outside of Jerusalem were brought into the city. And they were bringing people who were sick or afflicted, and they were all being healed. That's Acts 5 and verse 16. Now we get to Acts 6. And we're going to see that some people other than the apostles, some seven public servants of the church, we call them deacons, seven public servants of the church are going to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Notice in Acts 6, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews. And these were the Jews who normally spoke Greek. Their culture and their ways were Grecian rather than Jewish. And so some of their widows were being overlooked in the daily ministration. And so this complaint came to the attention of the apostles. And so the 12, Acts 6, verse 2, the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the Word of God in order to serve tables. It would not be the will of our Lord for us to just serve tables, and that's all that we were doing, to the neglect of teaching and preaching the Word of God. So notice, here's the solution to the problem. You select from among yourselves. Notice, the apostles gave the church the opportunity to select these public servants. If we follow that example today in allowing the church to look out from among its membership and determine whether or not men meet the qualifications of elders and deacons, and then are given the opportunity to select such men. Oh, I know they have to be approved, have to pray about it, but they ought to be given the opportunity to select them. That is, if you want the kind of unity that they had here in Acts chapter 6, as we read in verse 5 and 6 about this event. You select seven men. Now notice the qualifications of these men. They were to be men of good reputation, full of the Spirit. Notice, they are already filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit's message. They obviously had the fruit of the Spirit as a part of their lives, part of their character and personality. Read Galatians 5:22, which shows us that the Holy Spirit, through His message, produces the kind of fruit listed in Galatians 5:23 and 24. And so they said, look out and determine whether or not these men are spiritual men, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And that just meant they had the ability to accomplish the work of the Lord, a certain amount of skill, whom we may put in charge of this task. We'll devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Notice, a Gentile believer who had become a proselyte, who had been circumcised, and now a disciple from Antioch. He's one of the deacons. And these they brought before the apostles. After praying, they laid their hands on them. Now notice what happened through prayer and the laying on of the apostles' hands. The Holy Spirit willed to give miraculous gifts to these seven servants. And the very next verse tells us, notice, and Stephen, full of grace and power. That's verse 8. When did Stephen, one of the seven, receive the empowering from the Holy Spirit? It was only after the apostles had laid their hands upon him. So the Spirit willed to give these gifts, miraculous gifts, to these seven men, but the Spirit did that through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Then we have the great sermon of Stephen, as recorded in Acts chapter 7, and then his transferring his membership, since death was his appointment on this occasion through the unbelieving mob. And so his spirit left his body and he transferred his membership to go home to be with Jesus in the redeemed church of our Lord there in heaven. But now in Acts chapter 8, we read about another one of these seven, and his name was Philip. He is called an evangelist later on when we get to Acts 21, verse 7. So Philip had the hands of an apostle laid upon him, and so the Spirit had given Philip also miraculous gifts from the Spirit. He goes down to the city of Samaria and proclaims Christ. Now then, let's start reading in verse 5 of Acts 8. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to what was said to Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And so Philip, along with Stephen and the other men who were the public servants selected by the church to serve in the daily administration, Acts chapter 6, Philip had received the Holy Spirit to empower him through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now, after they heard the gospel proclaimed by Philip, a great number of them responded. The record tells us in verse 12, But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized or immersed, men and women alike. Notice, when they believed. When people thus believe today, they will respond to our Lord and experience the new birth just like these believers did in the city of Samaria. Now then, verse 13 tells us, and even Simon himself believed. Simon, who had been a sorcerer up to this point and had deceived a whole lot of people prior to this event, he was intellectually honest. He became a believer, an obedient believer as well. And after being immersed, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. So it is beyond question that Philip had received the Holy Spirit to empower him with miraculous gifts through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now let's continue to read, because the next few verses are very significant. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, two of the apostles of Christ, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes people read portions of this. They just sort of go through it, as we say in our country, cafeteria style, and get what they want and leave the rest. But notice very carefully, none of the people at Samaria had received the Holy Spirit to empower them as yet. The Holy Spirit had not yet fallen upon any of them. You remember, we've observed over and over again and must continue to observe that when the Holy Spirit fell upon people or came upon people, it meant to empower them with a miraculous gift or gifts from the Spirit. Doesn't have reference to the indwelling. We'll see in our next study when we analyze the sermon that when people respond to the good news of our Lord and respond with an obedient faith, they are promised the gift of the Spirit at the point of baptism. We'll see that as our next study of the indwelling the Spirit, Acts 2, verse 38, in some related passages of Scripture. And so as yet, the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon them. They had just been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we'll see in our study from Acts 2 on that any time a person is baptized into Christ, he receives the Holy Spirit as a seal in earnest and proof of his sonship. But none of the people at Samaria had received the Holy Spirit to empower them. And Philip, although empowered by the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands, could not lay his hands upon these Samaritan saints, and they would have thus received gifts from the Spirit. Two apostles had to come. I want you to see that the Holy Spirit was working now to empower people through the apostles. And so Peter and John, two of the apostles, came down to Samaria. And the record tells us that they began laying hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit, not to indwell them. Every Christian received the Spirit in conjunction with the Word to indwell their spirit as a seal in earnest. The apostles laid their hands upon them in order that they could receive the Holy Spirit to empower them. And let's see if we will not see this from the context. The record tells us that they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Spirit. Now, when Simon, who had believed and been baptized, verse 13, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power or authority as well, so that on everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Old Simon was overcome by temptation. He had repented of all of the evil that he had done as a worker with Satan and for Satan. And now, all of a sudden, the temptation comes upon him. If he just had the empowering from the Holy Spirit, and he thought somehow that this gift, or the gifts from the Spirit, were determined by the apostles rather than the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's notice Peter's response to old Simon. Here is what we read in Acts chapter 8. may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you're in the very gall, that means the extreme wickedness, gall of bitterness, and in the bondage of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Now notice, Peter said, Simon, you don't understand. The Holy Spirit is the one who wills to give gifts. You don't have any part or lot in that matter, and neither do we as apostles. We're involved because the Lord uses us and the laying on of our hands, and through us, He gives gifts. And He has chosen to give various gifts to some of these Samaritan saints. And now you have thought with an evil heart, an evil intention. You obviously thought if I had this power, you'd use it in an evil way, not to the honor and glory of the Lord. You must repent of this terrible wickedness, even the evil intent that you had in your heart, and pray God to forgive you. And we see that Simon did respond. This teaches us that after we're baptized into Christ and we become a son and daughter of God in that act of faith, that we have access to throne room privileges any hour of the day or night, and we can beseech God to be merciful to us and give grace and forgive us. And so we confess our sins and pray for forgiveness only if we're in a right relationship with God. So Simon believed genuinely, and he was baptized into Christ. He was not told to start all over again and become a believer. He was told to repent and pray. That proves then that his faith that led him to be baptized into Christ was a genuine faith, back in Acts 8 and verse 13. But now, Acts 8 is very significant, folks. It helps us understand the difference between receiving the Spirit to indwell us as sons of God and those who receive the Spirit in the first century to empower them with miraculous gifts. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10 and be reminded again of Cornelius, who received the Spirit to empower him. Now Cornelius, as we've seen, received the gift of tongues directly without the laying on of hands. Peter said that in his explanation to the apostles, Acts chapter 11. It records that event in the city of Jerusalem when they discussed that. Peter said, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them without the laying on of hands, even as the Spirit fell upon us at the beginning on the day of Pentecost. But here in Acts chapter 10, the record tells us that after Cornelius had received the Spirit to empower him with the gift of tongues, verse 46 says, for they, the seven Jewish brethren who were present, were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Obviously, they were speaking in the dialect of Peter and these brethren because they knew that they were exalting and praising God in a foreign language. Foreign language to them, but the language well understood and spoken by Peter and the Jewish brethren. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized, immersed, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's so important that you understand Acts 10, because Cornelius is not an exception in any way with regard to gospel obedience. He heard, believed, and responded to the cross like everyone else did. He had to in order to be saved. God has but one new birth that has to be experienced by everybody in order to be saved. There were some exceptional things that took place, as recorded in Acts 10. First of all, an angel was dispatched to Cornelius to tell him to send for the services of the Apostle Peter, who had preached Christ to him. And then, while the sermon is being presented, the Holy Spirit directly, without the laying on of hands, empowered him. And the record tells us here, in the verse that we just read, verse 47, that Cornelius received the Spirit. He received the Spirit to empower him with the gift of tongues before he was baptized into Christ, and at the point of baptism, he received the Holy Spirit as a gift to indwell him. Before he was baptized, he received a gift from the Spirit the gift of tongues. At the point of baptism, he received, like every other believer, saved believer, received the gift of the Holy Spirit as an earnest and seal and as a proof of one's sonship. So do not be confused into thinking that somehow Cornelius was saved by faith before he was immersed into Christ. He was not saved until he was baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 10 and verse 48. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 19. We're seeing how the Holy Spirit willed to give gifts in the first century through the laying on of the apostles' hands. In this chapter, we read about Paul coming to the great city of Ephesus. And there were some 12 disciples here in the city. And here's the question that Paul asked these 12. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You say, that seems like a rather strange question to ask. It isn't strange if you start in Acts 2 in your study rather than Acts chapter 19. Because every saved believer at the point of being immersed into Christ receives the Holy Spirit as a seal in earnest. So Peter knew that, or Paul rather, knew that they had been baptized. And so he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit, you know, that we could receive. So here's the next question. Into what then were you immersed? He knew that they'd been baptized. And so he said, did you receive the Spirit to indwell you when you were baptized? Into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Here's Paul's explanation. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. John's ministry was to the glory of the Lord. It prepared people for the coming of our Jesus. He taught people to repent. They came confessing their sins, and they were baptized according to Mark chapter 1 for the remission of sins. They were being baptized by faith, looking unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So their repentance and baptism was an expression of their faith in Jesus, who was to come and to become their atoning sacrifice, their sin barrier on the cross. And so from Pentecost on, anyone who was baptized had to be baptized looking back to the sacrifice that Jesus had made rather than looking forward, as the disciples of John were told to look forward unto the coming of the Lord. Paul explained that to them. Said here was the purpose of John's baptism, and it lasted until the cross. And then beginning on the beginning day, when the Holy Spirit was promised and given, people were baptized in the name of Christ on the basis of their faith in Jesus' sacrifice already having been made on the cross, not something yet future to be done. So when this explanation was offered, notice what happened. The record tells us, and when they heard this, they were immersed into the name of the Lord Jesus. I think it's rather interesting that sometimes people turn to Ephesians 2 and read how that we're saved by grace through faith, and sometimes wrongfully conclude that that has nothing to do with our being baptized into Christ in order to be saved by grace through faith. And yet, 12 of the people at Ephesus had been immersed twice. All of them had been baptized once, as we read the book of Ephesus, and had been raised up together with Christ, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians 2, verse 6. And then as he talks about the one baptism, which is a part of the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4. So, notice here in Acts chapter 19, they had heard for the first time the design and purpose of John's ministry and baptism, and when it was concluded and completed, and what happened on the beginning day. And so when they understood this, being believers in Jesus, they were immersed into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what happens as we read in the next verse. And when Paul had laid his hands, being an apostle of Christ, upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. What have we seen thus far with regard to the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit fell upon or came upon people, that meant the Holy Spirit gave miraculous gifts according to his will. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. These are two of the miraculous gifts that Paul lists when he gives the list of miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. What have we seen now from Acts 6, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19? That the Holy Spirit gave gifts according to his own will through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now there's one other reference that we might observe, and that will conclude our study of how people receive the Holy Spirit to empower them through the laying on of the apostles' hands. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul reminds his son in the faith, Timothy, about an event that had taken place when the presbyters or the elders had laid their hands upon the young evangelist Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, here is what Paul says. And for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We don't know what gift the Holy Spirit willed to give this young evangelist Timothy. We just know that he received a gift from the Spirit through the laying on of Paul's hands. But this happened at the time that the eldership laid their hands upon Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, Paul said, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of the hands by the presbytery. And of course that has reference to the elders. And so if you can picture in your mind the event that obviously took place as recorded in Acts chapter 16, they came together and the elders laid their hands upon Timothy, the young man, and Paul laid his hands upon him, and it was through the laying on of Paul's hands that the Holy Spirit willed to give Timothy a miraculous gift.
Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven shining forth. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.